Our gospel lesson this morning is taken from chapter 10 of Mark's gospel. And Jesus has just told his disciples that he is going to die for the third time. And in between, we've had the discussions of the last couple of weeks where the disciples argue among themselves about which one of them is the greatest, and also how they're going to replace Jesus in the time that he is not with them. And so there's a lot of power struggles going on. And Jesus says, remember, the last shall be first and the first shall be last. And this part today of James and John stepping forward and having a special request on their mind. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" And they said to him, "We are able." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you also will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." And when the ten heard this, they began to be indignant with James and John. Jesus called them to himself and said to them, "You know that those who are supposed to rule over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their rulers and their great men exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be the slave of all. For the Son of Man also came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord. Approaching the text today, I thought of a number of ways of doing it, but I thought especially today, this being Laity Sunday, that it would be really the focus should be on all of you. Having been in the clergy now for 47 years, something like that, one of the things that is always assumed when you are a clergy person is that the people are always going to be there. That, of course, somebody's going to be there to do this, that, and the other thing. And, of course, you're going to get support to do this, that, and the other thing. And, of course, everybody's going to be very generous, not only with their finances and helping paying all the bills, but they're also going to be there to take care of all the stuff that needs to be done. That's an assumption that I think many times has made clergy people so insensitive to the reality of many people's lives. And in my time here, I've become ever more sensitive to the reality that for many years I never paid a whole lot of attention to. And I confess that. Not that I ever assumed that people would do anything more than I myself would do, and I've always been a part as much as possible when things had to be done. But at the same time, I think so many times people gather together for church and for worship, and they find themselves somehow used or feeling somehow abused or being ignored in their needs or somehow not meeting up to whatever the person who is their clergy person expects of them. And I want to put it straight before we go on our trip in case I don't get back. No. No. No, that was just kind of an aside. That's it. Because there's something happening here that I have never experienced before in my whole career. I hate to call it a career, my whole ministry. In 47 years, I've come to this place where we started off with very, very few people. If you recall, I think the first time I preached here, there were 12 people in church and 6 were in the choir. And that was special because that day I experienced something that I had never experienced before. in the mega churches where I served, 10,000 people, etc. I found a sincerity that was very, very muffled and very buried. There was something of energy here that I had never expected to experience in a place like Bethlehem. That was probably almost the first time I came here, except to go to the post office to mail Christmas cards. But I had never come to Bethlehem for any other purpose. And coming here, what I experienced was a group of people who had such power, and they had nowhere to go with it. There was no outlet. There was no, it seemed that it was stifled. And perhaps because my first experience of council meeting, for example, was we sat around the table, and I think it was Vince carried on pretty much the whole meeting and said a whole lot of things, and nobody else said anything else. And I thought, well, that's strange. Because even though Jack and Vince were going back and forth on some things, there weren't too many voices. And very gradually what has happened is people started to get their voices. People have become, I think, gone through a transition that we really need to underscore. Because as people came back to church, or people started coming to the congregation, and more people were coming once or twice, passing through, we've experienced a number of people, some of them with very high-powered personalities, and some who are very demanding and very, I think, directive. Maybe not the direction that the rest of the world wanted to go, but they were here and they tried to make it happen here. And when they found they couldn't, they stopped coming. And that's a testament to you, because the power of you together in being a loving group of people made it impossible for something like that to bud. That seed died all by itself, using the image of the rose. The seed that would have changed the whole tenor of this place and where we have become would not have existed. I'm saying this not to condemn anybody and not to put anybody down, but to uplift the truth that you all together have created a congregation that every one of my minister friends would love to have, and they don't. We have our lackings. We have some things we have yet to do. We have some things we haven't perfected yet. We've got a long way to go. Hopefully we have a long journey together. But I want you to understand that whatever is happening in this church is because of you. We on the top kind of make some decisions, but we are always very, very mindful of you whom we represent. When we talk at meetings, you're always there. And hopefully we represent you in your thoughts truthfully and validly. But you are never out of our thoughts. As we said at the beginning, when I wrote this thing, I gave it a lot of thought. We really do think a lot about each other. And it's not just when we're here at church, because I've been a part of many of your lives now. And I know the connections, the long years of connection, the activity that you've done together, the knitting together of yourselves. It speaks of your willingness to be vulnerable. It speaks of your ability to trust. It says volumes about what you really believe about your relationship with God. None of us is perfect. There's no such thing as perfection. There's no such thing as achieved, fully successful when you're talking about spirituality or becoming people of faith. We're always on the journey. And you're making the journey so very special. Not by trying to be anything more than yourselves. It takes more energy to pretend to be somebody else than it is to truly be yourselves. And the energy that I experience here that has changed my life in so many ways, hasn't it, dear? Yes. So many ways, speaks of who you really are, how truthful you are in being who you are and accepting each other for who you are. That greeting of shalom we start off the service with all the time, that greeting of shalom truly says, I want you to be the best person that God intended you to be. My goal in life is to ensure that that happens. That's an incredible promise. And it's an incredible blessing we ask upon God, from God upon each one of us in our days. So with that, I just want to underscore, you are really great people. And you make this town something very, very special. Now, they may not know the power of what you do, but they certainly experience it in the way you converse with them, in the way you witness who you are, in the way you share yourself and your gifts, in the way you support everybody's little project. And you people are all over the place. No matter where I go, there's somebody here from First Church somehow involved, doing something with somebody else, some group, some club, some organization, making a difference. That's why you are so very special. And I hope something we said a long time ago, I think it was about 3 weeks ago, we had a thing I wrote in the front about seeing God, God seeing us through the eyes. The eyes through which we see God are the very eyes that are looking back at us whenever we look at God. And Meister Eckhart says, your eyes are God's eyes, and you are God's eyes for everyone in the world. And you live it. You really live it. And I applaud you for that. And I thank God. Whatever God is, I thank God that we were brought together.